Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Way down in the deep, dark hills and hollers of rural Appalachia, there are places with very formidable names, such as Cut Shin Creek, named so because the water, the mountain waters of the creek are so cold and the rocks are so jagged that they'll cut your legs right at your shins. Or Troublesome, there's another place, appropriately named due not only to the difficult terrain of the area, but because some folks have been known to get into some trouble from time to time in Troublesome. And then a place called Hell for Certain. I don't think I have to say anything more about that, do I? Well, back in 1933, there was a journalist from the Minneapolis Tribune who ventured far into those deepest and darkest hills in far rural eastern Kentucky to investigate the plight that was taking place during the Great Depression. And writing back, that journalist noted, some people live in abandoned mining camps. The rest live in these little communities that are rather like Indian villages and really without any kind of sanitation whatsoever. And then back up in the headwaters of the creek, way back deep in the mountains, 5 children up one of those creeks died of starvation in the last 10 days. It is in these deep, dark hills and hollers that there was a group of very brave women that set forth during the Great Depression to bring light and literature to the poor and most remote places. They were called the Pack Horse Librarians. The Pack Horse Librarians would travel hundreds of miles every week through the treacherous mountain passes, crossing swollen creeks, navigating steep and difficult terrain through snow and sleet and rain and mud and all kinds of dangers, all while making about $28 a month in salary. There were nearly 1,000 of these pack horse librarians. They used their own horses or their own mules, and they carried the books and magazines and everything else in these makeshift saddlebags. Sometimes even the horses would die, but that didn't stop them. Even if the horse would die, they would walk the rest of the way that they couldn't ride. They established small libraries in churches or in post offices or even in homes. They repaired damaged books, provided repurposed Christmas cards even for bookmarks. The pack horse librarians would deliver Bibles, hymnals, great fiction novels, magazines, newspapers, and they would deliver hope. Often they would be riding through those deep, dark hills, along the lonely trails and the roadways, singing hymns to pass the time. These women were called into a life of service, dedicated to a life of service. And friends, it is as if they were sent by God for this mission, sacrificing their own needs in order to bring hope to others. And I can tell you with full assurance that there is only one driving force enough to send people to love and to serve like this, to sacrifice like this. There is but one, and it clearly wasn't the $28 a month. These women who would deliver Bibles and hymnals, who would sing words of praise of our Lord in spite of everything that they saw, all of the difficult conditions, they were driven, they were called, and they were sent by the Spirit of God. And it's that same Spirit that is here with us and enables us today. The same Spirit that enabled and sent the disciples and the apostles of Jesus to go out into the world proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, making disciples, serving others, and praising God for His great resurrection from the dead. In the book of Acts, which we heard from this morning, Peter preached a sermon. He preached a lot of sermons throughout the book of Acts, but this is one of them. This is a sermon that, just like the other ones, changed lives. It's a sermon that incited many new believers to go forth to make the same bold statements and bold proclamations that Peter was making. It's a sermon that was immediately followed by, this was the passage of Scripture just after what we read today. It's a sermon that was immediately followed by the Holy Spirit of God falling upon all of those who heard it that day. It's the same Spirit, brothers and sisters, that is here with us today. So Peter spoke boldly of the Lord Jesus Christ, who brings good news to all, that He is the forgiveness of our sins, the salvation that we cannot provide of ourselves, and the peace which is undoubtedly the presence of God. That Jesus, He is the one who serves, the one who strengthens us then to do the same. The good news that Peter spoke of is good news for all who hear. It was good news for those 2,000 years ago, and it is good news for us today. It's good news because there are so many people in the world right now who are quietly suffering in a multitude of ways. Suffering because of chaos and uncertainty, the things of life that weigh us down regularly. You know, we don't know what to expect or what's coming next in the political realm or on Wall Street or in education or real estate or sports or anything else. And this is exactly why, though, friends, this is exactly why what Jesus has to offer is good news. It's good news because it takes so much of the pressure off of me. It takes the pressure off of any of us. It takes the pressure away that I have to be perfect all the time. Because He died and rose again, I can live in the quiet calm of burdens being lifted away. Now, surely, worry and doubt about the current state of the world and affairs in our lives is weighing and significant, and it doesn't just go away. But the true reality is that I can't control most of the things that happen in my own life, and I certainly can't control the things that happen in the world. I can control how I react to the things that are happening in the world, the things that are happening all around me. And how I react to those things is colored by the knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ. I don't have to produce at a perfect level all the time. There's room for error. In fact, all of the expectations that I can't or don't live up to all of the mistakes that I make, all of the anger that I hold on to, all of the worry that I have about what's next, all of that was handled by Jesus when he went to the cross. Further than that, all of the chaos in our lives was made calm when he rose from the grave. Peter's testimony of the good news of Jesus covered the scope of the biblical themes of creation, fall, and redemption, the narrative that replays over and over again throughout the Bible. Jesus came into the created world, a world that had fallen into sin, death, and destruction by Satan's deception of Adam and Eve. Jesus was born into God's chosen people of Israel to preach, to teach, to perform miracles, to forgive, to heal, and to live a life of perfection. And he conducted his ministry throughout the land of Israel and even beyond the borders, even beyond the boundaries of Israel. He spoke to people who were of Jewish heritage and of Gentile heritage. And then Jesus was rewarded for all of his ministry, all of his perfection of life, all of the miracles that he performed. He was rewarded by being falsely accused, being arrested, beaten, tortured, and nailed to the cross. Jesus died, brothers and sisters, to save humanity, to save me and to save you, and even to save those who killed him. To save us from the pain and the suffering, from the pressures of the world, from our distorted views of others, from our misguided affections. He died to save us from all sin. And then the reason that we are all here this morning, he was raised from the dead on the third day in full triumph and proof that everything he ever did and said was true. Jesus Christ is risen today. And because he rose from the dead, we are forgiven. And we can do as those first disciples did, to go out into a lost, weary, lonely, and broken world to offer the same hope that we have. The hope that relieves pressures and eases tension. The hope that could only come through Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Friends, sin has no power over us any longer because of Jesus. And death holds no weight for those who believe in Jesus. He has commanded us to go out into the world like his disciples. And with the same spirit that enables people like those pack horse librarians. And yes, it is indeed the same spirit that is with us today as we gather together as repentant believers of Jesus Christ. Our life is new and true each day because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and he rose from the grave. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine I can. can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior, he will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need his power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley he will lead. Oh, the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Fate I dread, I know I am forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Oh, Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me, until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.